It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel, all at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Welcome back for another edition of the RTC Weekly Download. Today we're going out west, that's the old west, with Paladin of Have Gun Will Travel, and we'll also drop in on Gunsmoke. And we'll wrap it up with some comedy with Armis Brooks. But first, Paladin and Have Gun Will Travel.
Look, I know more about this desert than you do. Does the money you might get from our client mean more to you than your life?
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875. The Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Mr. Paladin.
Yes, hey boy.
You enjoy sit here? Relax, smoke a cigar, read newspaper?
Oh, I certainly do, hey boy. That's why I gave you specific orders that I was not to be disturbed today. I need a little rest and relaxation.
Oh, my.
What's the matter with you?
Oh, don't know.
You seem quite troubled, hey boy. What is it?
Oh, don't know. Business condition, maybe?
Oh, I see, yes. Well, it's up and down, hey boy.
Oh, yes, sir. Ye down today, all right.
I take it the guests in the hotel haven't been exactly lavish with their tips, huh?
Mr. Paladin, downright stingy.
Oh, well, it'll pick up.
Yes, sir. Hey, boy, have good reason to feel encouraged, but he don't know.
All right, hey boy. What is it?
Mr. Paladin, see that man stand over there by desk?
Uh-huh.
That man, his name, Mr. Higby. He said, hey, boy, do you know where I can find Mr. Paladin?
And?
Hey, boy, I remember Mr. Paladin say, do not wish to be disturbed. So, hey, boy, say, oh, no, sir.
You were quite right, hey, boy.
Yes, sir. Then a man reach in pocket, pull out big tip and say, be worth good deal to me if I could talk to Mr. Paladin.
Then what did you do?
Oh, I just walk away, come over here, ask you if you enjoy wasting time, smoke cigar, read a newspaper.
I see. All right, hey boy, bring him over.
Why, Issa, like you say, our business all up and down.
That's a warning signal for all drivers. And that can be a warning signal for drowsy drivers on long, monotonous trips. You see, driving can make you drowsy no matter how much sleep you get. And driving and dozing just don't mix. Why take chances? Take no-doze, stay-awake tablets. Millions of times a year, safe no-doze keeps drivers awake and alert, helps you bounce back so that you feel sharp, ready for any emergency. How does no-doze do it? Ask your doctor. He'll tell you that no-doze contains a safe and accurate amount of caffeine, the same refreshing stimulant you get in your coffee or tea. But safe no-doze acts faster, is handier and more reliable. Best of all, it is not habit-forming. And no-doze is so safe, it is legally sold on a national basis without a prescription. Get no-doze stay-awake tablets to help you stay awake and alert. It could save your life.
And now, Mr. Higby, what can I do for you?
Do you know the name Solomon Fisk Bibber?
Of course.
And when you hear that name, what do you think?
You really want to know?
Well, naturally, the first thing that comes to anyone's mind in connection with that name is wealth. Fabulous wealth.
Well, the way I put it, Mr. Higby, is filthy rich, and I mean filthy.
Sir?
Well, I can never seem to forget that he got the start on that fortune of his by profiteering during the war.
Oh, come now, that's neither here nor there.
Well, it is to me. But anyway, what about Solomon Fisk Bibber?
Well, I've been on a rather interesting assignment for that gentleman. I've just arrived here from the Orient on the steamer Prospero.
Oh, the Prospero docked this morning, didn't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
Carrying in her holds the treasure it took me the better part of a year to search out on an unlimited expense account, you understand.
Yes, of course.
Pavo Cristati.
Pavo Cristati?
Peafowls, to be exact. A pair, a peacock and a peahen. Oh, and what beauties. An extremely rare species from Ceylon.
Oh, you're an ornithologist, eh, Mr. Higby?
Not exactly. Let's say I'm an opportunist. The peafowls will cost my client, Mr. Bibber, a pretty penny, but he wants what he wants.
Well, what does he want with a couple of peafowls?
Oh, just another costly item to enhance the magnificence of his estate on the Hudson. The peacocks will add a decorative touch to his terrace.
Sounds nice. Now, what did you want to see me about?
Sir, I would like to hire you to ensure that this treasure gets safely across the country.
Well, why do you need help getting two birds to New York?
My dear man, obviously you're not aware of the great value of these particular birds. Now, there are many collectors of the rare, the precious, and the unusual who would be only too glad to intercept them en route. Why, they're worth a king's ransom. Will you accept the job?
No.
No?
No, thank you. I don't want to work for Solomon Fisk Bibber.
I assure you it'll be well worth your while.
I don't want his money.
Well, Mr. Paladin, I'm just a businessman like yourself, although obviously not so fastidious. But this is very important to me. Well, if you won't help me across the country, will you please give me protection when I move the birds from the docks to the train? For a satisfactory fee, of course.
Our waterfront is a bit terrifying, isn't it?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Higby, I'll lend a hand to another businessman. But remember, only from the docks to the train. Meg's Wharf. That's what we want, isn't it?
Yes. Good heavens, I've never seen such weather. Broad daylight, you can't see 3 feet ahead for the fog.
I think this is far enough. Ooh. Ooh. Yeah, sounds like they're unloading now.
All right.
Come on. We'll walk over where we can watch.
Right you are.
You'll recognize your crate, won't you?
Oh, by all means. Hey, I do believe that's the cage on the hook now. Hope they handle it carefully.
That big thing is a bird cage?
Oh, they're very large birds, you know.
I'm afraid I don't know much about them.
Well, possibly one of the most interesting of the Avis Carinatae. In the ancient Greeks, the peacock was known as Juno's bird. You see, the markings on the train were considered the 100 eyes of the giant Argus, set there by Juno.
Uh-huh.
Now, this particular strain is held sacred in India. It's fascinating, isn't it?
Hey, what's that?
That's the cry of the Pavo Cristatus.
You mean tell me just two birds can make all that racket?
Oh, yes. Paladin, look at the way that cage is swinging in the air.
That's all right. The dockhand will steady it when it comes down.
Bringing it down awfully fast.
Yeah, they sure are. The cable must have slipped.
It's going to crash. I can't look.
Hey. It's all right. It's all right, Higby. The fall was just a few feet. They're not hurt.
But the cage is broken open. They'll get away.
Leave it to the dockhand. He'll take care of it. Hey, Higby. That bird is attacking that man. He's vicious. I'm going to have to stop.
No, Paladin. No. Put that gun away. Don't you dare.
Higby, let me go. Look at that thing he's doing.
Please let me handle him. Now you stay here. Thank heavens they're safe. How fortunate. And he only lost 2 train feathers.
Yeah. But that dockhand nearly lost 2 eyes. So that's a peacock, huh? Are they always like that? Mean and loud?
It's hard to say. They're very unpredictable.
Higby, I've changed my mind. I'm going with you.
Fine. I hoped you would.
Yeah. I'm going to make sure that Solomon Fisk Bibber gets his Pavo Pistotti. He deserves them. This is certainly an elegant compartment. I must say, when you work for a Solomon Fisk Bibber, you go first class.
Yes, nothing but the best.
Well, now that I've convinced myself this is a worthy project, I'm glad I came along.
Good.
I can use some easy money.
Why, we seem to be stopping. I wonder why.
We're coming to a town. But I don't believe it's a scheduled stop for this express train.
Somebody's at the door.
Yeah, I'll get it. Yes?
You Higby?
No, that's Mr. Higby. Conductor, we are wondering why the train's stopping.
Because this train don't carry no doctor, that's why.
Doctor? Somebody ill?
Yeah, one of my freight crew. He come out second best in a setu with one of them misbegotten birds riding up there.
This? Man I paid to feed them?
Yeah, they finished their breakfast and they started in on him.
Oh, dear. Well, now what arrangements can I make to see that they're cared for?
Now, Mr. Higby, if them birds is going to eat, you're going to feed them yourself. There ain't nobody in this whole train will go within breaking distance of the critters.
Well, how can I manage that?
Well, I guess you'll have to ride the freight car with them. This express ain't making mealtime stops for them fiendish things.
You mean we ride to New York in the freight car?
Yeah. And another thing, you keep them fool things quiet. Folks in the first two cars set up all last night with loaded rifles, thinking the Comanches were closing in. Now you keep them quiet or off they go.
Nothing but the best.
Well, these quarters are a bit cramped, aren't they? I'm not sure just how I'll manage.
Manage what?
The birds should be exercised. I know. I'll let them out of the cage one at a time so that they can walk around a bit.
Yeah, we seem to be slowing down. Probably going to make a stop so the engine can take on water. Yeah, I think I'll climb out of this black hole and get the kinks out of my leg.
All right, now, easy, easy, one at a time. All right, Mr. Peafowl, you can be first. No, 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 dip, dip. Mrs., you'll have to wait.
Here's where I get some fresh air. Ooh.
Easy.
Ooh, my back. Well, you want to join me?
No, no, thank you.
Well, hold on to that bird. I'm going to slide this door open.
Well, don't open it too wide.
Don't worry. Hey, stuck, I can't.
Here. Oh, get him, Paladin!
Hey, you come back. He's too fast for me.
I couldn't hold him. The noise of the door scared him.
Look at him go.
Well, we'll have to go after him.
Go after him? You crazy? I'd say it was good riddance.
We've got to get that bird.
Higby, be reasonable. We're in the middle of the desert. How do you figure we could ever find him? Anyway, you've still got the hen.
My agreement with Bibber was for the pair, payment on delivery, and I intend to get paid.
All right, what do you suggest?
Well, get some of the cord off that box in the corner.
What for?
I'm going to make a collar and a leash for the hen and get off the train.
A collar and a... Oh, no, you can't be serious.
Of course I'm serious. We'll have to hurry.
I won't have any part of such nonsense.
You accepted the job, Paladin.
All right. So I did. I've done some fool things in my time, but this beats all. Walking through the desert with a peahen on a leash.
But the idea is sound, Paladin, really.
Oh, is it?
Yes. See, actually, we're approaching the mating season of the Pavo Christatus. Now, at the proper time, the lady will call to the gentleman, and he will answer her call post-haste.
I see.
In other words, we've only to stay somewhere in the vicinity of Mr. Peafowl. And in due time, he'll come back to us.
But this is a big desert, Mr. Higby. You don't know how far he's gone.
Well, the mating cry of the peahen can be heard for many miles.
I can believe that. Well, as near as I can figure, we're about 10 miles south of the town of Whitewater. We better head that way and get a wagon. Did I say something about easy money? Oh, shut up.
And now, here are Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. Bergen, why did you stop the car here?
I want to talk to that farmer.
Oh, mister. Oh, you call me?
Why, it's Mortimer Snerd.
Oh, where? Oh, that's me.
Are there any General Motors dealers around here?
No, but we got some Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, and Cadillac dealers, though. And some Chevy and GMC truck dealers, too.
Well, Mortimer, those are all General Motors dealers.
No! Well, what do you want to see them all for?
Well, I only want to see one for Guardian maintenance.
Do they make that car, too?
No, that's a service that's available only at General Motors dealers' service departments.
Oh, I see.
Yes. And right now, they're featuring complete lubrications, quality appearance services, brake adjustments, and front-end inspections. It's quality work performed by GM-trained servicemen at a fair price.
Well, that makes good sense even to me.
Paladin, what did you find out?
We can get a wagon, all right, but the only way we can travel through that stretch of desert is in a wagon train with a cavalry escort.
Well, why is that?
Army order. Seems there's been an Indian uprising.
Oh. Well, what do we do?
Well, they're making up a train now. We can join it, all right, but I think our best bet is to take that fool peahen and try to make it back the other direction to the nearest railroad station.
No, Paladin. No, that peacock's somewhere out on that desert. We've got to find him.
Look, Higby, I know more about this than you do. Does the money you might get from Solomon Fisk Bibber mean more to you than your life?
It isn't that, Paladin. It's a matter of business ethics with me. I gave my word, and I intend to keep it.
Yep. I see what you mean. Well, come on. But that thing goes in a crate.
The lieutenant, he wants us to stop.
Who knows? Yes, Lieutenant?
All wagons into a circle when we reach that grove of cottonwoods ahead. Indians just over the ridge.
You expect attack?
Well, from our scout's report, we're greatly outnumbered. But we must be prepared to defend ourselves as best we can if necessary.
What's behind this uprising, Lieutenant?
The chief of this particular tribe, Old Many Feathers, was friendly to the whites. He died a short time ago. Some of the young bucks who didn't agree with his policies are trying to take over. Stir up a bit of trouble.
I see.
There's a bare possibility they haven't spotted us. So no fires. And move as silently as possible.
Right.
Get up.
You hear that, Higby? The lieutenant wants silence. Pass the word along to the peahen.
All right, Paladin. I'll keep the blanket over the crate. That'll keep her quiet.
Higby.
Paladin, where have you been?
I had a talk with the lieutenant.
Oh, Paladin.
Look, Higby, it's almost dawn. If they're going to attack, it'll be any time now. That rifle you were issued, you have it handy?
Yes. Paladin.
What?
Look, up there on the top of that tallest cottonwood tree.
Oh, no. How'd she get up there?
Oh, she flew out of the crate when I opened it to feed her. Went right for that spot, and she's been roosting there ever since.
What is that? What's that noise?
It's a bird, Lieutenant.
A what?
A bird in the top of that tree.
I never heard a bird that sounded like that.
Yeah, I don't suppose the Indians have either, and they'll probably be over to investigate. I guess our party better be alerted for an attack, Lieutenant.
Well, I'm afraid so. And if they come, don't waste ammunition. Let them get in range before you fire. I'll pass the word along.
Right.
Paladin, listen.
Yes, I hear it.
No, that's the peacock.
You mean he's come back?
Yes, he's answering the mating call, just as I said he would.
That's fine. That's fine. That's all we need. You hear that?
Indians?
Indians.
Oh, no.
Paladin. Paladin, I've been fighting Indians for 15 years, and I've never seen the like. Here they come tearing down that slope. They must have outnumbered us 20 to 1. They get down to that clearing, stop, and without firing a single shot, ride on back up the hill. I tell you, it's got me baffled.
Well, it had me baffled too, Lieutenant, but I believe I have it figured.
Huh?
Yes, it was our advance force that turned them back.
Our what?
The peacock.
That silly bird who was strutting back and forth down there in the clearing?
A pretty spectacular bird, you'll have to admit.
Yeah, all those feathers.
Uh-huh. Many feathers. The peacock was strutting back and forth down there with an I dare you attitude. Actually, he was following his instincts to protect his mate who was up there in the tree, but I'm convinced that those superstitious Indians who had never seen a peacock before felt it was the spirit of their old chief, Many Feathers, daring them to fire on his friends, the white men.
Yeah, that guess is as good as the next.
Yeah, it'll do until we can think of a better one.
Well, Paladin, I have that precious pair secured at last.
Then we're ready to go, huh?
Well, at least we have them halfway to New York.
What are you fellas doing traveling with those fool birds anyway?
Oh, picking up a little easy money.
Don't you want to go downstairs in lobby to read newspaper?
No, Miss Wong. I just want to rest and relax, and I think I stand a better chance up here in my room.
Oh.
When you finish cleaning and leave, I'm going to lock the door.
Hey, boy, tell me you go all the way to New York. Take birds. Peabirds.
That's right.
You know, Mr. Paladin, in China, was great honor for emperor to give peacock feather.
Yes, so I understand. Peacock feather was considered some sort of an award,
yeah,
wasn't it? Yeah.
This was a successful trip, Mr. Paladin?
Oh, very.
Oh,
of course, by the time we delivered the birds to Mr. Solomon Fisk Bibber, the peacock looked pretty bedraggled. But his disposition was worse than ever.
Pepsi-Cola refreshes without filling. Why? Because it's truly light.
Charlie, you're forgetting something.
Wait, Kay, there's more. Yes, ice-cold Pepsi is the delicious refreshment that goes great at a picnic or a party.
But, Charlie...
And Pepsi goes fast. People like it, so keep plenty handy. There.
Oh, you did fine, except for one thing.
Well, I mentioned lightness and how Pepsi refreshes and how fast it goes.
You left out Pepsi sociability. You know the Be Sociable song.
But, Kay, I can't sing.
I can. Listen.
Be sociable. Look smart. Keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable. Have a Pepsi.
Well, at least I can say this. Pick up an extra carton of Pepsi today.
Please do.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, he is produced and directed in Hollywood by Frank Paris and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hey Boy and Virginia Gregg as Miss Wong. Tonight's story was specially written for Have Gun, Will Travel by Ann Dowd. Featured in the cast were Bartlett Robinson, Frank Cady, and Joseph Kearns. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents Have Gun, Will Travel.
Thank you.
We're listening to some of the great old-time radio westerns that appeared on radio toward the later stages of it, big-time network radio in the United States. And so we're looking at the 50s mainly here, mid-50s, late-50s. We're now going to go over to Gunsmoke, which also had a record on television as being one of the longest-running series. This is the radio series where it all started, as William Conrad plays the part of Matt Dillon.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun Smoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Mind to sit here and watch the plaza with you, Mr. Dillon?
Oh, sure. Sit down, Chester. Sit down.
I got spring fever, I guess.
I guess everybody has.
That'll change soon enough.
It will?
Sure. Soon as the first trail herd hits Dodge.
Yeah, I suppose.
Them Texas cowboys. Mr. Dillon, they all ought to be hobbled and have one arm tied behind their back all the time they're here.
No, I don't know, Chester.
They're just troublemakers, sir. They're bad enough at home, but they're worse away from it.
Well, there are plenty of bad men who never saw Texas.
Yes, and there are darn few Texans who ain't bad.
Where'd you say you're from, Chester?
Well, Waco. But that don't change my opinion one bit, Mr. Dillon. In fact, it just proves I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, here comes a Texan now, Chester. Look at his rig.
Yes, sir, it sure is. Now, what's he doing here?
Yeah, looking for somebody to shoot, according to you. You know him?
No, sir, I don't. But then, most everybody I knew in Texas has been hung by now.
I'm looking for the U.S. Marshal. You're wearing a star, so maybe you're him.
Sit down, stranger.
You Matt Dillon?
That's my name.
All right. I'm Phil Jacks. I'm with a herd of 3,000 San Saba cattle about 5 days' drive from here. The name of the trail boss is Dolph Quince.
Dolph Quince? Well, he was up here last year. Give him my regards, will you?
You give them to him, Marshal.
Well, I'll be glad to. You'll be here in about 5 days, you say?
Well, if we don't run into any more trouble. Said for you to ride back with me, Marshal.
No? Well, did he say why?
No. Didn't say nothing except for me to ride into Dodge and find you.
Well, can you tell me what this is all about?
It's about Kansas, Marshal.
Kansas?
We don't like it.
Well, for heaven's sake, if you don't like it, why don't you stay in Texas? Instead of coming up here, raising all kinds of trouble, getting people's backs up, drinking, shooting, carrying on.
I haven't even said hello to you, mister.
No, I know it, and let's leave it that way.
Chester, what's got into you, anyway?
It's been mighty peaceful around here lately, sir. Now the first Texas herd ain't even over the horizon, and already there's trouble. Why don't you people drive your old mossy-horned steers to California, anyway?
Why'd you leave Texas, mister?
What?
I know a Texan when I see one. You all riled up because you don't like Kansas anybody else does.
Yes, and I don't like Texas, neither.
Texas is sure rough on women and dogs, ain't it?
My gracious, I ain't heard that since I was a boy. All right, you got me pegged. I'll shut up.
Now we're getting someplace.
You ready to go, Marshal?
Dolph Quince is a good man. He wouldn't have sent you here without a reason.
Yeah, but Mr. Dillon, you
Chester,
can't
Chester, suppose you take Jax over to the Dodge House for a good feed, huh? Looks like he could use it. I'll get ready and I'll meet you there in about an hour, huh?
Yes, sir, but what about me?
Well, like you say, there won't be any trouble till the Texans arrive. But I'd like for you to stay here anyway.
Yes, Mr. Dillon. Come on, Jax. It's just down the street.
Oh, don't shoot him, Chester. I'll never find that herd alone.
I ain't to buy him a drink first, Marshal, and just temper him down a little.
Now, say, that's not a bad idea at all. Take your pick, Mr. Jax. We have a goodly number of very choice saloons here.
I hadn't been out on the prairie for some weeks, and I found its usual monotony broken a little by the freshness of spring, with great patches of green standing out against the natural sunburnt color of last year's grass. We rode over about 30 miles of it before dark, and Jax figured we'd find the San Saba herd by evening the next day. And sure enough, an hour or two after we'd crossed the Cimarron next afternoon, we spotted the herd's dust ahead of us. We rode up to the chuck wagon just as the cook was hollering for the men to come and get it.
Just drop your saddle anywheres, Marshal. I'll turn your horse in with a remuda.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, Jack.
Dolph Quince will be over there by the fire, Somers.
Yeah, I'll find him.
All right, Marshal. Come on.
Marshal, what's he doing? I don't know. I can't understand it. Who is it?
Hello, Dolph.
How are you, Marshal? There's fresh meat in camp. Ask the cook for a plate.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I'll go with you. I need some more coffee. You like Buffalo Veal? One of the boys roped and shot a calf this morning.
Sure, I like it fine.
Guess it was Buffalo that scared our horses last night. Old Remuda broke loose. Hey, cook, give this man a plate of meat.
Sure thing, Doc.
Yeah, it looks mighty good. You know, Jax and I haven't eaten since morning.
Give me some coffee, will you?
Yep.
Thanks, cook. Nesta woman came to the bed ground before daylight this morning.
Huh?
Yeah, I had a boy with her driving a wagon. Asked if we had any little calves that had been dropped during the night.
Well, she probably picks up calves from all the herds that pass this way, huh?
Yeah, we'd have to get rid of them anyway. So I let her have them. Even if she was a Kansan.
Oh? Where was her husband?
Dead, according to the boy.
Oh, I see.
You know, if it had been a Kansas man asked for calves, I don't think I could have talked these boys into allowing it.
Oh, is that so?
It sure is, Marshal. Say, you got any tobacco? Mine's a mite dry.
Oh, yeah, sure. There you are. Here, fix yourself a smoke.
Thanks, Marshal.
Tell me, Dolph, have you seen any Kansas jayhawkers on the way up?
How do you know, Marshal?
Well, just a guess.
Two nights ago, some of them jayhawkers managed to sneak up on Snyder over there when he was out on guard. They stripped him and flogged him and then stampeded the cattle. We had our hands full for the next few hours, or we might have caught up with them.
I see. Any trouble since?
Not yet.
Dolph? A ordinary Kansan hates jayhawkers as much as you do. They're nothing but shifty, murderous criminals. They got started on the Missouri border during the war, and they got the taste of blood in their mouths, and... Well, now it's like they got no place to go.
We can show them a place.
Yeah, they're bandits, that's all. You got bandits in Texas. That doesn't make every Texan one, does it?
It's kind of hard to make the men see that, Marshal.
Yeah, I know.
I'll join you, if you don't mind.
Sit down, Jack.
Yeah.
I've been complaining to the marshal about our welcome here.
I hear the trail driver's buying off Jayhawkers. $2 or $3 a head. You see, 3,000 head, that cost us...
I ain't paying nobody nothing.
Well, they ain't asked us yet, but I'll kill the first one I see anyway.
Maybe they won't bother you again, huh?
Marshal, every dollar I got's in these cattle and all the money my relatives and friends could raise, too. We've come a long way from San Saba, and we're almost to Dodge. I'd hate to lose now.
Well, Duff, I don't know quite what I can do.
Raise a posse?
No, not for this sort of work. There'll be herds coming up from now into September.
What about the army?
Well, they're out chasing Indians, as usual.
Well, figured that I'd have to ask anyways.
One reason I wanted you to come down here was to ride with us a few days, get to know the boys a little. They're in a bad temper, and when they hit Dodge, they're going to be looking for Kansas scalps.
I'll ride with you.
I figured you would. You see, Marshal, the way we look at it, the good citizens of Dodge are out to fleece us anyway, and on top of that, they hire gunfighters to shoot us as soon as we kick up our heels a little. All in all, it makes for bad feeling.
Well, there's some misunderstanding on both sides, I guess.
Yeah, you and I know that. But they don't.
Oh, say, Dolph, I nearly forgot.
What?
Stranger rode up the remute over there and asked for a job. I told him to eat first.
Must be crazy. Where is he?
I'll go get him.
Dolph, I'd like to stand guard tonight, huh?
No need for that.
Well, if I'm riding with you, I'll do my share of the work.
All right. You go out with the second watch. The Wrangler will give you a night horse.
Thanks.
Here he is, Dolph. This is Dolph Quince, trail boss.
Mr. Quince.
Quince will do.
Well, my name's Studer, Carl Studer.
You lost?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, do you know we're only 4 days' drive out of Dodge?
I was wondering if you could use a hand.
For 4 days?
That'd help.
You must be awful hungry.
I thought maybe you'd be driving past Dodge.
Well, I'm not. We'll feed you from here to Dodge if you work. I won't pay you anything, though. I haven't got the money, and I don't need a hand anyway.
Thank you.
Hey, by the way, where are you from?
Colorado.
And you ain't a Kansan?
No.
Good. Maybe the boys won't tear you apart. You'll be on the third watch tonight, Studer.
All right.
There's the sort of man spends his whole miserable life just looking for salt pork and sundown.
Yeah. If that's all he's looking for.
What do you mean?
Just an old habit of mine, Dolph. I wouldn't still be alive if I trusted everybody on first sight.
You don't trust this fellow?
No, he's probably all right. Still, I'd keep him in camp, unless it's daylight.
How come?
I wouldn't put him on night guard, Dolph.
All right. Marshal, I always thought I led a hard life. Till now, I think you beat me.
Well, I got shot at more than you, that's all.
Maybe that's it. You better stretch out somewhere. You'll be out singing to those cow brutes in 2 hours.
Yeah. Well, I'll see you later, Dolph.
Breakfast at 4. You'll find it don't take long to stay all night at this ranch.
We will return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first, right now, our country is engaged in an all-out effort to fight aggression and preserve our democratic freedom. The future of America concerns us all. That's why we should all help to make that future as bright as possible. By buying United States savings bonds, you can help make American freedom secure, and at the same time, you'll be automatically saving for your own financial security. Buy an extra bond for your future and Uncle Sam's. Now the second act of Gunsmoke.
I didn't have much chance that night to get to know the boys. On guard, two of us rode around the herd in opposite directions, singing or humming a little to let the cattle know where we were. And after 2 hours, we were relieved by the third watch. But at breakfast the next morning, the men treated me a little less like a gunfighter hired to shoot them when they got to Dodge. After the cattle had grazed for a few miles and we got them on the trail, I started to forget I was a lawman myself. Jackson and I were riding the swing of the herd when Dolph Quince loped up behind us.
Hey, how's it feel to be a trail hand, Marshal?
There's nothing to it. If I could sleep all winter like you do.
When would you spend your money?
I already offered to trade jobs with the Marshal. Dolph, you know where I found him in Dodge.
Hanging a horse thief, I hope.
Yeah, not likely. Sitting idle in a chair, taking in the sun like an old man.
Don't let it fool you, Jax. I've seen him move. Hey, you two crossed the Cimarron yesterday. What's it like?
Oh, the water's gone down. You won't have any trouble.
I was also thinking about the sand.
It was sound where we was, Doc.
Then we'll cross right there. You go up ahead and ride point, Jax. Lead us to it. Take that new fella Studer with you.
I don't need him.
I want him up front where I can see him.
Okay. Hit him off.
First crossing I tried last year had a quicksand bottom. It would bog a saddle blanket.
Nah. Did you lose many cattle?
30 head. Couldn't even dig their tails out.
Yeah. You know, Dolph, I sometimes wonder if it's worth it to you, driving cattle up here.
Texas is bankrupt, Marshal. The war broke us. All we got is these wild longhorn cattle.
Yeah, I know. But maybe there'll be an easier way someday.
We'd starve waiting for the railroad.
I suppose so. Anyway, this Sun Sub, I heard of yours, is the first to reach Dodge this year. The prices are high. You ought to profit $20 a head.
I hope so. What's Dodge like now? Been a year since I was there.
Well, it's double its size. They got a new restaurant, a place called Delmonico's. Got about 5 new saloons.
Well...
A new barber shop.
With money in your pocket, Dodge could offer high-class entertainment.
Almost anything you want.
The boys will be glad to know...
Hey, that's up ahead. Come on! Hurry!
Look, he's got a blanket. He's starting to stampede.
Yeah. Is that Jack's horse running loose?
Yeah. There's Jack's lying on the ground. They shot him, Marshal.
Yeah. The man with the blanket, that's Studer. I'm going after him, Dolph. You take care of Jax.
Take all the cattle. They're off. Get him, Marshal. Get him alive.
I'll get him. As I followed Studer, a few shots whipped past my head, but they didn't come from him. They came from behind a small rise he was headed for. Whoever was shooting was still too far away from me to worry about. I wanted to take care of Studer first. And slowly the distance between us closed. I pulled my rifle out of the boot and I snapped one off at him. He threw up his hands and pitched forward out of the saddle. I glanced at him as I rode past and crossed him off as one jayhawker less. When I reached the rise, I jumped off my horse and ran up it on foot. Near the top, I got down and I crawled. When I poked my head over, there was only one man in sight. The other jayhawkers, if there'd been any, had disappeared. This one was afoot, and he was running for his horse. I took my time and put a shot into the cantle of his saddle, and the horse bolted. The man dropped behind a rock and lay there. He was only half covered, so I stood up. And a step at a time started toward him down the hill.
far enough, mister! Go on back! You're in pistol range now! Stand right there, you!
All right, fella. Put down and come forward.
All I want's a horse, and I'll get out of here. We won't bother you no more.
You sure won't.
Just let me on a horse.
Now listen to me. I'm a United States Marshal. You give up, and I promise there'll be no lynching. You'll get a fair trial.
No!
If you don't give up, you're gonna die. Right where you are.
Let me go, I'm warning you.
I'm coming after you. You just had to try it, didn't you?
You leave a bloody trail, Marshal.
Yeah.
I brought Snyder with me. After the whipping they gave him the other night, I figured he deserved to be in on this.
Guess I'm too late. Looks like the Marshal's done taking care of everybody.
Be glad you don't have to kill a man, son.
I don't think I'd mind, Marshal.
Yeah, I know. Tell me, Duff, how's Jax?
Dead.
No.
Studer shot him in the back of the head.
He was a good man.
The boys have got the lead cattle turned. We'll let them mill around for an hour and then graze them out.
Good. I left my horse over the rise there. Snyder, would you get him for me, please?
Yeah, sure. Come on.
Looks like you walked right down onto this man.
And I tried to take him alive, like you asked.
Guess I just wanted to hang him myself. Anyway, I'm glad he's dead.
Yeah.
Marshal, we'll be burying Jax out here. I'm wondering if you might know how to do it. Maybe a prayer or something?
Well, I'm not... Yeah, I'll try it, Dolph.
Let's get back in.
When we got back to where Jax had fallen, the cook had driven the chuck wagon up and was busy fixing coffee for the men, even though it was far from noon. The cattle were spread out and feeding now. And one by one, the men rode up, sober and quiet. With just a glance at Jax where he lay covered by his saddle blanket. A grave was soon dug, and with the end gate of the chuck wagon for a headstone, Phil Jax was placed in the ground and covered with prairie earth. Their hats in their hands, the Texas men watched in silence.
If you will, Marshal, we're ready now.
Yeah. We brought nothing into this world. Neither may we carry anything out of this world. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away.
Even as it pleaseth the Lord.
Yeah. Even as it pleaseth the Lord, so cometh things to pass. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.
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 Oh, Snyder?
Yeah.
I want you to do something for me, if you will.
What?
Well, I smuggled a quart of wagon yard whiskey out of Dodge when I came down here. The cook's got it hid in the chuck wagon.
Well, now, Marshal...
It's not much, but it'll cut the alkali in your drinking water. Why don't you get it and pass it out to the men, huh?
Mighty decent of you, Marshal. All us wants a drink of the Marshal's whiskey. Get on over to the chuck wagon.
There's times when a drink's good for a man's soul, Marshal. I guess this is one of them.
I think Jax would approve.
He sure would. By the way, Marshal, the boys all know how you handle them jayhawkers.
Oh?
It ain't changed their mind about Kansans much, but maybe they think a little more highly of the law around here, of the kind of gunfighter hired by the law anyway.
That's good.
Of course, it don't mean they won't hoorah Dodge a little when we get there.
I expect that.
Sure. Come on. We got a drink coming out of that bottle, too.
Three days later, the San Saba herd reached Mulberry Creek, about 10 miles south of Dodge. And Dolph Quince decided to hold it there till he got it sold. So I said goodbye to the men and rode on into Dodge ahead of them. We'd meet again. In the plaza, at the Texas Trail, at the Alafraganza. And I was sure of one thing. Short of gunplay, that particular bunch of Texas cowboys were going to be allowed to hoorah Dodge unmolested.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin and Harry Bartell, with Sam Edwards, Jack Crucian, and Jim Nusser. Parley Bear is Chester. Gunsmoke is heard by our troops overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Tomorrow evening, the Edgar Bergen Show with Charlie McCarthy presents a drama titled The Blue Egg of Happiness as its own comical Easter observance. Edgar's daughter, Candy Bergen, age 6, visits the show, and we'll also hear from Jack Kirkwood, who plays a bear, Arthur Q. Bryan, who plays the Easter Bunny, and bandleader Ray Noble, who plays a skunk. Remember, it's Bergen and McCarthy tomorrow night on most of these same stations, bringing you laughs along with Jack Benny, Amos and Andy, and the rest of your Sunday nighters on CBS Radio. George Walsh speaking. America's 45 million radio families listens most to the CBS Radio Network.
Well, it's time to lighten up the mood and send you out with a little comedy in your ears. Armis Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is next here on the Weekly Download.
Palmolive Soap, your beauty hope, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. Our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, is as sociable as the next teacher, especially if the next teacher happens to be Mr. Philip Boynton. But unfortunately, Mr. Boynton, who teaches biology at Madison, is a rather shy individual.
Yes, indeed. For a fellow who spends so much time studying life, he certainly manages to get very little on him. Of course, there are rumors around the school that I'm that way about Mr. Boynton. Now, I don't know exactly what that way means, but if feeling that way means feeling this way, then I guess I'm that way about Mr. Boynton. Anyway, last week, he accepted my invitation to invite me to the faculty dance Saturday night. And so bright and early Saturday morning, I asked one of my pupils, Walter Denton, to drive me down to the beauty parlor in his jalopy. Unlike the new Hudson, Walter's car isn't one you step down into. His car, most people back away from. It's a very streamlined little job. No windows, no top, and no windshield. All in all, it's the coldest hot rod in town.
If it's too cool for you, Miss Brooks, I can put up the top.
The top? Where is that?
In the back, on the floor.
No thanks, Walter. It doesn't matter how my hair looks now. Antoine will change me into something believable. I appreciate your giving me this lift today, Walter.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Miss Brooks. A pleasure and a privilege, because I'm so fond of you both as a person and a teacher. You know, that's one thing about Madison High. We sure got some wonderful teachers. Now, take Mr. Boynton.
Granted.
He sure is tops. I ran into him the other night at the movies. Incidentally, he was with another member of the faculty, Miss Enright.
Please, Walter, not so soon after breakfast.
Oh, I forgot. You and Miss Enright aren't exactly stuck on each other.
That, Walter, is an understatement. Now, let's just forget about her, shall we?
Sure, I'll be happy to forget about her. I never think about her much anyway.
Fine. Walter.
Yeah?
Was she sitting close to Mr. Boynton?
Who?
The lady we decided to forget about.
Well, I can practically give you a blow-by-blow because I sat right behind him in the movie.
And what's your report, G2?
Nothing.
Nothing?
They were so dull, I spent half my time watching the picture.
You should have asked for your money back.
Of course, she did whisper a couple of things into his ear, but I couldn't hear what they were very well. She has a funny way of purring when she talks.
There's nothing funny about it. To her, purring comes naturally.
Of course, she tried to hold Mr. Boynton's hand once or twice, but she didn't quite make it.
Why not?
Most of the time, he had it in a bag of popcorn.
Well, it would serve her right if she got salt all over her manicure. Here's the beauty parlor, Walter. Would it be convenient for you to pick me up in a couple of little hours?
Oh, sure, sure. I gotta get a haircut anyhow, and I usually go to Barney's Barbershop right down the street. I was thinking of getting a butch haircut this time.
Well, from what I've seen of the kids who get their haircut at Barney's, he can butch up any kind of a haircut. Hello, Antoine.
Well, if it isn't Miss Brooks. A long time no see, like the man says.
What man?
Oh, there you go. You're not in my shop 2 minutes and you're pulling my leg. But I don't care. I'm delighted to see you at any time. You're such a challenge to a beautician.
A challenge?
Yes, you see, you come into my shop so infrequently, I have to start from scratch each time. Of course, you do have a load of natural beauty.
Thanks, loads.
But then so does a rose bush. And even it, with all its natural loveliness, must be properly and frequently cared for in order to retain that beauty. Its soil must be irrigated, its roots watered, its leafy branches gently sprinkled.
Well, don't stand there. Turn the hose on me.
Before I assign you to a booth, tell me, Miss Brooks, what prompted you to come in this morning?
Oh, it's very simple, Antoine. There's a faculty dance at Madison High tonight, and I thought it would be nice to look like a human being.
All the big jobs they bring to Antoine. Well, no matter. It's a feeble artist, indeed, who cannot rise above his subject. I shall make you my masterpiece. All I ask in return is that you promise to visit Antoine's once a week.
Aren't you forgetting something? I'm a schoolteacher. You know, it isn't an accident that we of the faculty have a faculty for always looking like the faculty. Beauty parlors are a luxury we can rarely afford.
Well, apparently that doesn't apply to all teachers. One of my best customers is a teacher. In fact, she has an appointment here in a few minutes. Miss Enright, do you know her?
Yes, we both teach English at Madison.
Oh, then you and Miss Enright have something in common.
I suppose you could call him that, yes.
No, she's a wonderful person. Very active in the Parent Teachers Association and in all sorts of civic functions. What do you think of her?
She's fine. Good teacher.
Confidentially, I don't like her either. And even though I should be grateful for the new customers I get through her connections, I can't help feeling that she's very overbearing. That's my honest opinion, and when it comes to people, I believe that honesty is the best policy.
Well, here I am, Antoine.
Miss Enright, how wonderful to see you.
Your policy just lapsed.
Why, Miss Brooks, what are you doing in a beauty parlor?
Oh, I just thought I'd let Antoine do a little lily gilding.
I haven't started yet. I'm going to make Miss Brooks look like a thing of beauty.
Is there time? This is Saturday, you know. We have to be back at school by Monday.
Oh, I'll make it. Antoine's going to put more men on the job.
Well, if you'll excuse me for a moment, I'll arrange booth 3 for you, Miss Enright.
Oh, do that, Antoine. Miss Brooks, now that we're alone, there's something I think you should know.
That you were at the movies with Mr. Boynton last night?
Well, how did you... Were you there, too?
No, just my emissary.
I must admit, Miss Brooks, I thought you'd be a little more upset about it.
Upset? Me? Because Mr. Boynton chooses to go out with another English teacher? Of course I'm not upset. In fact, I had quite a laugh over it.
A laugh?
I thought I'd split my infinitive. You see, I happen to know that Mr. Boynton once heard the expression, let's live a little.
Yes.
So that's what he does. He lives as little as possible. No, I'm not worried about what Mr. Boynton does when he's not with me.
Look, Miss Brooks, I like to do things in an open and above board manner. I'm going to lay my cards on the table.
Good. Take them out of your sleeve and deal. What's the first card?
Just this. I know you've booked Mr. Boynton for the faculty dance tonight, but remember, there's always tomorrow, and I don't give up easily.
Well, good for you, salty nails.
Don't underestimate me, my dear. The next time Mr. Boynton and I walk down a middle aisle, it may not be in a theater.
Be sure to invite me to the wedding. And Miss Enright, if you ever become a mother, remember, I'd love one of the kittens.
Now, Miss Enright.
Yes, coming, Antoine. I'll see you and Mr. Boynton at the dance, Miss Brooks.
I'll be looking forward to it with considerable revulsion.
Booth 3. Here it is.
Sit right down here, Miss Enright.
Antoine, before you do anything for me, I want you to take care of Miss Brooks.
But your appointment...
Wait. There's a certain way I want you to take care of Miss Brooks. First of all, I want you to comb her hair up in back and give her bangs in front.
But that wouldn't suit her face at all.
Exactly. Then I want you to be sure and see that she's got pounds of makeup on. Plenty of rouge, eyeshadow, everything.
But she won't like that.
Neither will Mr. Boynton. I know the type. And whatever you do, don't let Miss Brooks look into a mirror. Tell her to wait for her first reaction from a member of the opposite sex.
But, Miss Enright, suppose she doesn't want me to...
She'll agree to anything you suggest. She knows you're an expert beautician.
Well, then how can I betray her faith in me? I'd feel like a traitor. A despicable traitor.
Antoine, dozens of women patronize this shop at my suggestion. And at my suggestion, they go elsewhere. Now, are you going to give Miss Brooks the works or not?
Well, Benedict Arnold made a nice living for years. There we are, all finished. Remember now, no mirrors, Miss Brooks.
All right, Antoine, if you say so. I'll leave it up to the public. Oh, there's Walter parked as usual, right in front of a fire plug. Well, here I am. Let's go.
Sorry, lady. I'm waiting for Miss Brooks.
Take another look, Walter. It's me.
Holy cow! Get in quick. I'll take you to the receiving hospital. Or better yet, I'll give you first aid. I'm the Red Cross chairman of our class, you know.
Well, why do I need first aid?
Your mouth, it's all cut.
Oh, you're just not used to seeing me with lipstick on. Start the car, Walter. I didn't intend to take so long. Mrs. Davis will be wondering what happened to me.
When she sees you, she'll still be wondering. Gosh, that hair comb. Those bangs.
What's wrong with these bangs? Are they too long?
Well, in all the time you've known me, Miss Brooks, have I ever consciously been fresh or tried to hurt your feelings?
No, Walter, never.
And I can answer your question honestly. They're not long enough. They're frustrating, Miss Brooks.
What are you talking about, Walter?
Well, they start out all right, but just when they really get going, boom, they stop. Right at the tip of your nose.
Oh, that's just a few hairs that were blown out of place in this hopped-up pie plate of yours. How do I look otherwise?
Well, frankly, Miss Brooks, I thought you were more beautiful without all that stuff. I mean, well, gosh, with your natural beauty, you could have been a famous stage actress or even a model or a big movie star. I've often wondered, what made you become a school teacher anyway?
I couldn't resist the money.
Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, will continue in just a moment. But first, here is Vern Smith. Regardless of age, skin type, or previous beauty care, doctors prove you too may win a lovelier complexion with Palmolive soap.
But to win this lovelier complexion, you must stop improper cleansing. Instead, use Palmolive the way doctors advise.
36 doctors, leading skin specialists, advised using Palmolive soap this way for 1,285 women with all types of skin. Young, old, dry, oily, normal. And using Palmolive soap alone, 2 out of 3 won lovelier complexions. Oily skin looked less oily. Dull, drab skin wonderfully brighter. Coarse-looking skin appeared finer. Here's what the doctors advised.
Wash your face with Palmolive soap 3 times a day. Massage with Palmolive's wonderful beauty lather for 60 seconds each time to get Palmolive's full beautifying effect. Then rinse.
Look for improvement within 14 days, for doctors prove this way, using Palmolive alone, really works. So get Palmolive soap and start today to win a lovelier complexion. And ladies, enter the $100,000 49 Gold Rush Contest. The makers of Palmolive soap offer $49,000 first prize and over 4,900 other prizes. Get entry blanks and complete rules from your dealer now. You may win a fortune in cash.
Well, Walter took me home from Antoine, and as my new bangs and I entered the front door, my landlady, Mrs. Davis, came out of the living room. Hello, Mrs. Davis.
Well, how do you do, madam? If you're looking for Miss Brooks, she isn't in. I'm her landlady.
Well, maybe I can refresh your memory. Good morning, Mrs. Davis. I can't pay the rent till next week.
Connie Brooks, where in the world did you get that makeup?
Antoine's beauty parlor.
You didn't leave much there, did you? Although I suppose it is attractive to a male.
By the way, has he called?
Mr. Boynton, you mean? Not this morning, Connie. And I know why you didn't get any calls last night, either.
Why?
I discovered our phone wasn't working. But I fixed it about an hour ago.
You fixed it?
Yes, I went downtown and paid the bill. You know, Connie, as one gets used to your new look, it's not half bad.
Well, I should hope not. After spending 3 hours in a hot booth, the least I can expect... I'll get it. Hello?
Oh, hello, Miss Brooks. This is Mr. Boynton. I thought I'd better call to ask what time I can pick you up tonight. I wouldn't want to barge in without giving you ample time to get ready.
Oh, you can come over any time, Mr. Boynton. It never takes me more than a few minutes to fix up.
Well, then I'll be over about 7. You know, I tried to reach you several times last night, but your phone was out of order.
Yes, I just heard about it.
I was quite disappointed when you didn't answer, but while I was combing some new white mice I've acquired, Miss Enright dropped by and asked me if I wanted to go to the movies.
What did you do with the other mice? I mean, where did you go after the movie? Ice cream parlor?
Oh, no, I was full. The popcorn's very good at the Paramount.
Yes, I know. Don't they have a slogan that goes, if it's a Paramount picture, it's the best popcorn in town?
I don't know about that, Miss Brooks, but this wasn't a Paramount picture. It was an independent, and not a very good one. In fact, as I once heard Jack Benny say, they should have kept the picture and released the producer.
That's a hot one. What was the picture about, Mr. Boynton?
It was about some girl with a lot of money who wants her sweetheart to quit being a poor songwriter and work in her father's doorknob factory.
Does he?
No, but he writes a big hit song after they separate. And when he's got as much money as her father, he asks her to marry him again. And this time she says yes.
I can't understand it.
Me either. You ought to see the girl this fellow proposes to. She's got 2 inches of makeup on and she wears bangs.
Bangs?
The most ridiculous looking getup you ever saw. How any man in his right mind could fall for anybody like that. Well, I won't keep you any longer, Miss Brooks. I'll pick you up at 7. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, I wish I hadn't let Walter go home. He could have taken me back to Antoine's.
I'll get it, Connie. Well, Osgood Conklin, how is Madison's handsome principal today?
Fine, Margaret, fine. As you know, my wife's preparing all the refreshments for the dance tonight, and she wondered if you'd be kind enough to help her out with a few sandwiches.
Why, of course, Osgood. Shall I make the same kind of sandwiches I did last time? White fish and peanut butter.
No. No, thank you. I've brought something.
Hello, Mr. Conklin.
Miss Brooks has been to the hairdresser's, Osgood. Doesn't she look interesting?
Well, I really don't know. It's hard to tell. I can see you all right, Miss Brooks, but how in the world can you see me?
Oh, it's easy, Mr. Conklin. I just blow a little, and there you are. As a matter of fact, I've got to get back to the beauty parlor right away. Do you think you could give me a lift?
I suppose so, Miss Brooks. And Mrs. Davis, you'll find the ingredients for the sandwiches in this package right here.
All right, Osgood. I'll get started right away. See you later, Connie.
Goodbye, Mrs. Davis.
Well, come along, Miss Brooks. I'll drop you off. White fish and peanut butter?
As I recall, Mr. Conklin, the beauty parlor's only a couple of blocks past your house, so I won't be taking you too far out of your way.
Oh, that's perfectly all right, Miss Brooks. I hope you'll forgive me for seeming so taken aback when you first came in, but, well, you did look quite unlike a school teacher.
Is that bad?
On Saturdays, no. In fact, I rather admire a woman who takes the time to enhance her charms. Confidentially, I've been trying to stampede Mrs. Conklin into a beauty salon for years, but she just can't see it. Doesn't believe in powder, rouge, lipstick, none of the refinements.
What does she want with refinements? She's got you. That is, she's got you.
Excuse me, we're just passing my house. I always honk the horn when I'm in the neighborhood. Gives my wife and daughter a feeling of security. But as you just said, Miss Brooks, she's got me. That's the trouble. She doesn't have to patronize beauty shops to hold on to me, and she knows it. Of course, if she had some reason to be jealous of me, she... Jealous. Miss Brooks, do you think that if Martha were jealous...
Oh, pardon me, Mr. Conklin, but if you'll just pull up here, this is Antoine's.
Where?
It's that little building with the dimple in the door. Thanks for the lift, Mr. Conklin.
You're welcome, Miss Brooks. And we can pursue the topic of my wife's peccadillos at the dance tonight.
Oh, definitely. I'm one of the best peccadillo dancers in town.
Well, that does it, Miss Brooks.
Am I completely plain again, Antoine?
If you were any plainer, you'd fade right into the woodwork.
Yoo-hoo! I'm home, Mrs. Davis.
She should be back any... Oh, wait a minute. She just came in. Come to the phone, Connie. It's Mr. Boynton.
Again? I wonder what he wants now. Thanks, Mrs. Davis. Hello?
Oh, hello, Miss Brooks. Mrs. Davis told me you were at the beauty shop. I was delighted to hear that.
Delighted, Mr. Boynton?
Yes. You see, I was afraid you might misconstrue my remarks about the girl in the movie and think that I dislike all spectacular hairdressings. Actually, the new styles fascinate me.
They do?
Yes. What sort of hairdo did you get, Miss Brooks?
Well, what I got was more of a hair don't. But I'm sure you'll like what I'm going to get again, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, fine. When we walk into that dance tonight, I want those other teachers to really notice you. I've even bought a brand new blue serge suit.
You think it'll fit me?
That's a hot one. See you at 7. Goodbye, Miss Brooks.
Goodbye, Mr. Boynton. Well, back to the beauty parlor. You know something, Mrs. Davis?
What, Connie?
In moments like these, I almost wish I was Mrs. Conklin. What am I saying?
I'll have to be going down to the gym now, Martha. I want to see if it's fixed up properly for the dance tonight.
Very well, dear. Oh, don't forget the keys to your car. They're on the table in the hall. And Osgood, I must say the car took a lovely polish. I got a glance at it when you were driving past the house with some woman.
Yes. Well, I was just... You saw me driving with some woman, Martha?
Yes, dear, I did.
Well, there's no need to be jealous, of course, but she was quite pretty, don't you think?
Well, I'm sorry, Osgood. I didn't get a very good look at her. I was carrying some cold cuts at the time.
If you must know, she was gorgeous.
The cold cuts were quite popular last year.
Don't evade the issue, Martha. Who was that woman you saw me with this morning?
Oh, I know that. That's a hot one.
I repeat, who was that woman, Martha?
What woman? Oh, in the car with you. Well, really, Osgood, you drive so many women from the Board of Education around.
This one wasn't from the Board of Education. Far from it.
Oh, please, dear, you're leaning against the potato salad.
Why don't you admit it, Martha? You're jealous.
5 loaves of white. That should be enough.
Martha, I said you were jealous.
Yes, dear. Now, where did I put the rye bread?
Martha, you're not even listening to me.
Hello, Dad.
Hello! Oh, sorry. I mean, hello, Harry.
Harriet, you've been crying. Is something wrong, dear?
Oh, everything's wrong. Walter Denton told me he had to pick up Miss Brooks, but when I saw him, he was riding around with some creature in fangs. I'm going up to my room now, Mother. And if Walter calls, just tell him I've taken a slow boat to China.
All right. But after you've brooded a while, please come down and help me find the rye bread.
Oh, Mother!
Now there's a girl who will make some man a fine wife. Insanely jealous.
Oh, here's the rye bread. I do hope I win the door prize this year.
Don't think I'm past noticing pulchritude, Martha. I'm still just a boy at heart. Do you know why I gave that other woman a lift in my car? Because she'd just come from the beauty shop. You hear me, Martha? I was bedazzled. If it hadn't been for all the powder and that store-bought hair...
That man of mine wouldn't have gone nowhere, nowhere.
Oh, what's the use?
Hello again, Miss Brooks. Tilly, prepare booth number 4. And now then, Miss Brooks, you said on the phone you wanted something fascinating, so I've decided to give you the famous Antoine Marcel.
Is it really exciting, Antoine?
Exciting? This is the very same coiffure I copied hair by hair from Gorgeous George.
Fine. Just give it to me, and then I'll wrestle you for the bill.
This ought to be a very successful dance, Miss Brooks. Quite a few people in the gym.
Yes, indeed, Mr. Boynton. And at the sound of the next voice, there will be one people too many.
Oh, there you are. Good evening, Mr. Boynton.
Good evening, Miss Enright.
The next number is a waltz, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, is it?
Yes, and I'm just dying to waltz.
Well, you do that. Mr. Boynton and I will be right behind you.
Look who just came in. It's Mrs. Conklin, isn't it?
Oh, yes, but in a backless evening gown and an upswept hairdo.
And I thought I was overdone. Alongside of Mrs. Conklin, I look like Carrie Nation after a bad night.
Hello, everyone.
Good evening, Mrs. Conklin.
Hello, Mrs. Conklin.
Don't let me scare you. I got myself up like this to teach Osgood a lesson. I wonder what he'll say when he sees me.
Well, you won't have to wait long to find out. He's coming over now.
Hello, folks. Oh, I see we have a newcomer in our midst, and a very charming one at that. Osgood Conklin at your service, Miss...
It's Mrs. Mrs. Conklin.
Well, I'm delighted to make your... Mrs. Conklin.
Hello, Osgood.
My! What in the world... Your hair, your... Well, if that is... Your face is... Of all the... You look lovely, my dear. I
I'm going to have every dance with you tonight. Oh, Boynton.
Oh, yes, Mr. Conklin?
I'd like you to take over my duties as host at the front door, if you please.
Oh, but, sir, Miss Brooks and I were...
To the door, to... Boynton!
Yes, sir.
Come along, Martha. If it hadn't been for powder and that store-bought hair, I wouldn't have...
Oh, Miss Enright.
Yes, Miss Brooks?
Shall we dance?
Miss Brooks returns in just a moment, but first...
Dream girl, beautiful luster cream girl.
Tonight, show him how much lovelier your hair can look after a luster cream shampoo. Only luster cream brings you Kay Dumit's magic formula blend of secret ingredients plus gentle lanolin. Gives loveliness lather even in hardest water. Glamorizes your hair as you wash it. Luster cream... Not a soap, not a liquid, but a dainty cream shampoo. Leaves hair fragrantly clean, free of loose dandruff, glistening with sheen. Soft, manageable. Gives new beauty to all hairdos or permanents. 4-ounce jar, $1. Smaller sizes, either tubes or jars. Tonight, try Luster Cream Shampoo and be a...
dream girl, beautiful Luster Cream Girl. You owe your crowning glory to a luster cream shampoo.
And now, once again, here is our Miss Brooks.
Well, Mr. Boynton got away from the door just in time to ask me for the last half of the last dance.
You look lovely tonight, Miss Brooks. I feel I put you to a lot of trouble today.
Oh, it was nothing. Of course, I did lose about 5 pounds, but it was mostly around the scalp.
Attention, attention, please. Ladies and gentlemen of the faculty, it is my pleasure at this time to announce the winner of the door prize. She is none other than our Miss Brooks. Congratulations, Miss Brooks.
Thank you, Mr. Conklin.
I know you're all anxious to find out what the door prize is. Well, I have here a ticket, Miss Brooks, entitling you to one free treatment at Antoine's Beauty Parlor.
Mr. Conklin, would you tell me one thing?
What's that, Miss Brooks?
Is this for putting on or taking off?
Next week, tune into another Our Miss Brooks show brought to you by Palmolive Soap, Your Beauty Hope, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair. Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, written and directed by Al Lewis, with music by Wilbur Hatch. Mr. Boynton is played by Jeff Chandler, Mr. Conklin by Gail Gordon. Others in tonight's cast were Jane Morgan, Dick Crenna, Gloria McMillan, Mary Jane Croft, Frank Nelson, and Margaret McDonald.
Men, here is actual factual proof of more comfortable, actually smoother shaves by using Palmolive Lather Shaving Cream. 1,251 men tried the Palmolive Lather way to shave described on the tube. And no matter how they shaved before, 3 out of 4 got more comfortable, actually smoother shaves. Try Palmolive Lather Shaving Cream. See if you don't get more comfortable, actually smoother shaves the Palmolive Lather Shaving Cream way.
For mystery liberally sprinkled with laughs, listen to Mr. and Mrs. North, the exciting, fun-packed adventures of an amateur detective and his beautiful wife. Tune in Tuesday evenings over most of these same stations. And be with us again next week at this same time for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. Bob Lamond speaking. This week marks the 37th anniversary of the Girl Scouts, and the Colgate Palmolive Peat Company takes this opportunity to wish a very happy birthday to all Girl Scouts of America, whose fine program trains the girls of today to be better citizens in the world of tomorrow. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Well, it's time to say goodbye for this time, but we'll be back next time with some more old-time radio shows all queued up and ready to play for you. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.